We have to understand this from a prophetic point of view.
Yes.
Not simply looking at the laws of God, whether it's faith, the anointing, giving and receiving from a natural standpoint. One of the best definitions I've ever heard of faith is knowing God.
Amen.
Simple, isn't it?
Amen.
Knowing God. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. The key ingredients to faith for the last days. And I need you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Now, I'm sorry. I'm not really, but I feel compelled to say this, that I spent so long last Sunday night.
Well,
I realized when I listened to the tape, it was an hour and a half. And so I'm going to try to be a little bit more precise. I can tell you this, please be praying throughout this service because, dear sister, your ears are going to open up. And he spake a parable unto them to the end, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Oh, we must have an adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, that is very interesting, but it gets better. Listen to this. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now, in other words, he's pointing back to what this judge, the unjust judge, said. This guy regards not God. He does not regard man. He has no compassion. He don't care. And yet, because of this woman's persistence, he answered her request and avenged her of the adversary. Now, listen to what God says. And shall not God avenge his own elect? If the people in the world, if these ungodly judges that make these ungodly laws to stuff their ungodly pockets with ungodly gain is going to do something to benefit the people that appear before them in court, shall not God avenge his own people?
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Which cry day and night unto him, though he has borne long with them.
Amen.
I tell you that he will avenge them speedily.
Amen.
Nevertheless, now isn't this a strange thing to tack on to the end of that verse of Scripture? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? How many of you can really grasp this statement? Jesus was no fool.
Amen.
Jesus, you could not walk in and con Jesus.
Amen.
You couldn't give him a snow job.
Amen.
And he's saying here, even though I have proven time and time again, since I revealed myself as El Shaddai, I have proven myself in your lives time and time again. But yet, when I come back, there's going to be a group of people that are sitting in Assembly of God churches and Baptist churches and Methodist churches and Lutheran churches that have no faith. You've seen you've seen the dead raised. You've seen the deaf ears unstopped. You've seen sick bodies healed. You've seen drug addicts delivered. And yet, you have no faith.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
Well, I don't read that in there. Well, let's go a little further. Because you see, we've got to know what faith is.
Amen.
We've got to understand what faith is, knowing God.
Amen.
There's more to God than...
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
1 Timothy 1:19. First 1 Timothy 1:19 says, holding faith and a good conscience. Two ingredients that when you put them together have an explosive effect in the kingdom of God. Which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Now, when we want to talk about shipwrecks of faith, we need to dissect that scripture. I'm using a King James version, and I don't know what some of you have. But it says, holding faith and a good conscience. And then there is a semicolon. And that means that we're going to have more of the same thought. Which some, having put away concerning faith, what have they put away concerning faith? A good conscience. Faith without a good conscience towards God is not going to produce. You parents that have children, you've often told them, I tell mine, you know, once in a while, not very often anymore, but you've got a guilty conscience. That's why you're behaving strangely. And how strange we behave sometimes in the house of God when we have guilty consciences. And that's one thing that'll hold you back from a worship service where, you know, let me tell you something. God is a God of demonstration, manifestation, and experience.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that we should all have wildfire all the time, but I'd rather have wildfire than no fire because at least I can watch you burn. Amen. But I'm saying that God will manifest himself. He will demonstrate himself in some way.
Amen.
And one of the worst things for you to allow into your life is a bad conscience before God. Because you'll sit there and you'll want to open up and receive, but you won't be able to. Because Satan will be condemning you and condemning you and condemning you and condemning you. You need to take a step out of that. It's called repentance. We've talked about that. You need to get out of that and into a right relationship with God and keep your conscience good. Keep a good and tender heart before the Lord in these last days so that your faith will have a direction from the Lord to flow into. The Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you're going to desire something. Please give it to me, God. Please give it to me, God.
Sure.
He's going to put the desire within you.
Amen.
And when you stand up to speak, it's God's word that's coming out of you.
Amen.
And he's going to answer that in your life.
Amen.
But we've got to have a good conscience. Otherwise, we're going to be faith shipwrecks.
Amen.
Faith shipwrecks. We're going to be beached somewhere. When God needs us out in the waves of his glory, we're going to be beached somewhere with a broken down vessel.
Yeah. Amen.
1 Timothy 3:9. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. 1 Timothy 3:9. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. There is a lot in the Word of God relating conscience to your faith. Relating attitude to your faith. A bad attitude in a Christian, an ungrateful attitude, an unthankful attitude, an unholy attitude, a haughty attitude, a prideful attitude, all of these bad attitudes affect your faith, whether you want to realize that or not. And that brings me to the next point before we really go into the meat of tonight's teaching, and this is 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, I'm going to read this really slow. The Spirit speaketh. This is not Brother Paxton. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. But notice, I couldn't help but notice, the faith. Meaning it's not 5 or 10 different faiths. It's one faith. One Lord, one baptism.
Amen.
Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits for the sake of time, are those spirits that would endeavor to seduce you away from the truth. They will endeavor to seduce you away from your pastor. They will endeavor to seduce you away from authority. They will endeavor to seduce you away from believing that book. You will hear a message, it'll rub you the wrong way, and right away here comes a seducing spirit. He says, well, I want to give you this information. Here's another way you could look at that. To seduce you away from the positioning. Because listen, positioning is everything. God has got to have us in position if he's going to use us in these days.
Amen.
Now, I would feel this way about the people that are here, and I know no one. I take that back. I know Jim and Lori a little bit. But I would feel this way, that you are probably the core of this church, in a sense. God has got to have you in position.
Yes. Amen.
That's what we're talking about here. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You ain't going to like this. But when you're ready to receive something from God, a seducing spirit is going to come against you to get you out of position, off track, to make shipwreck of your faith.
Amen.
You better look for it.
Amen.
You better be prepared. One of the scriptures that we're going to look at, Noah was warned of God,
amen,
and he prepared an ark.
Amen.
We don't want to be so foolhardy. And Brother Yoder at our church preached this morning, and he made a statement that I just about ran all over the building. He said one of the abuses of the faith message that he hates, and I agree with this wholeheartedly, is that some people have the impression that if you just have God, brother, the devil will never touch you. If you believe that today, you've got cabbage for brains.
Amen.
In fact is, when you get into the faith, you're going to have problems like you've never had before. Hell's not throwing his little pygmies at you. He's bringing out his giants to try to knock you out of position.
Amen.
And you better have open eyes and a pure conscience and a strong heart.
Amen.
To be able to stand in these days that we're coming into. There's never going to be a revival without a fight.
Amen.
There's never going to be a move of the Spirit without a fight.
Amen.
You're never going to get your healing without a fight.
Amen.
You're never going to get loosed from the chains that Satan has you in without a fight.
Amen.
You might as well just get ready for it. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The devil has some doctrines. He has some doctrines that you can just do anything you want to do, and you're living in an age of grace, and so because you're living in an age of grace, you're as sure as have for heaven as you're already there. You don't believe in grace? I do believe in grace. I believe just as long as you want to live for God, no devil in hell can stop you. No demon in hell can stop you. Nothing can come against you and prosper. But the minute you want to walk out and turn your back on him, there you go.
That's right.
You can call it how you see it. That's how I see it.
Amen.
There's doctrines of devils that have crept into the church because of seducing spirits.
That's right.
That are teaching us that we can live any way we want to live. We can drink all the liquor we want to drink. We can spend all the money at the gambling casino we want to spend. And don't worry about it. You're in. Wrong.
Amen. Amen.
You better look again. It's a seducing spirit and a doctrine of devils. Now, I brought a little sheet of paper here, and I hope you don't mind if I just read something. One of the greatest attacks that this is mind-boggling when you think about it. I've got 4 kids in the public school, and I'm going to tell you, it's almost a full-time job to keep them safe.
Amen.
Now, and one of the greatest attacks of the enemy is coming in just one word, truth. I'm going to read some things here to you because I didn't have time to memorize it. But I want you to apply this to your spiritual life. This is talking about the nation of America, but I want you to see this in your spiritual life. In America today, we are witnessing the death of truth.
Amen.
It's evident in our national leadership. Daily, we're bombarded with lies and even perjury at the highest levels. But it's also happening in our churches, schools, and our personal lives. Amen. We're losing the ability to tell the truth.
Amen.
What is truth? At first, the answer would seem obvious. Truth is truth. And I would say absolutely. But recently, in a research study at an American university, students were asked if there was such a thing as absolute truth. Now, we're talking about college students. Their answer reflect the great lie in our society today. Here's what the students said. There is no absolute truth. Truth is whatever you believe. Now, I want you to apply that spiritually just for a moment. Because I want to shock you with the revelation here tonight that God is not who you think He is.
Amen.
And God is not who you want Him to be. God is who He has revealed
Amen.
Himself in this book
Amen.
To be.
Amen.
Truth is not whatever I decide
Amen.
To believe. Truth is relative, they say. What is true, right, or beautiful for one person isn't necessarily true for another person. People who believe in absolute truth are dangerous.
Amen.
Well, by that definition, God must be dangerous.
Amen.
Jesus Christ must be dangerous. The Holy Spirit must be dangerous.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something right here and now. Oh, hey, if Jesus isn't Lord of all in your life, He's not Lord at all
right.
in your life.
Amen.
So you can think whatever you want to think.
Amen.
Listen to what the Bible has to say. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
Amen.
The Bible says in John 6:13, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. Truth is something we need to be guided into. We need to be positioned into.
Amen.
We don't sit down and dream it up.
That's right.
Amen.
Are you hearing me over there?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I like the way
Amen.
One great man of God says, are you here?
Yeah.
The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
It's a mouthful, isn't it? Free. It's not going to do you any sense in the world to sit here and try to get free.
Well, Brother Paxton, I'm trying to quit smoking. I'm trying to live above the evil in the world.
Well, quit.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Quit trying. If you know the truth will make you free.
Yes.
Amen.
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 I'll finish a little bit more of this out because it's pretty good. That's why secular humanists hate the Word of God. That's why college students and Americans on every level don't even know what truth is anymore.
Amen.
They can't stand the idea that God has established an absolute standard for right and wrong.
Amen.
And the Bible gives us absolute truth for all ages, for all people, for all time, for all churches, for all creeds, for all denominations. This book is truth.
Amen.
This book is the truth. And if you're basing your faith on anything else, you better close up shop.
Amen.
That's right.
Because it won't work.
Amen.
Now that's the downside. That's the negative side. There is a great apostasy that is coming. There is a great apostasy of truth and religion. And Christianity, there is going to come a falling away from the true Bible-believing faith of Jesus Christ to a lot of what we would look at first glance and say, oh, that's the church. But it isn't. And now, how else can you explain people that are actively and openly involved in a homosexual lifestyle walking into a church on Sunday morning with their Bible neatly tucked under their arm, sitting with the other homosexuals, the pastor's condoning it and promoting it and marrying them, and then they walk out. Well, it's apostasy. Okay? And I want you to know this is a force you're going to contend with. Now, we touched on this a little bit last week, and a lot of Christians, they seem to feel, well, before it gets bad, man, the rapture is going to take us out of here. I believe, let me clarify this again, I believe the rapture will take us out of here before the Great Tribulation. I don't believe we'll go through any part of the Great Tribulation. The rapture will take us out of here before the man of sin is revealed, the Antichrist. Before he is revealed, we are gone, as I see it from the Word of God. However, some of this last day's prophecies that we see beginning to stir in our world can definitely come on the scene before we're gone.
Amen.
I was reading behind some prophecy experts that I trust. I mean, you kind of got to trust people in that area because there's a lot of trains of thought. That was looking at Ezekiel 38 and 39, which has for years we have been taught that that's the Battle of Armageddon. And it is quite possible that it is not. I'm not going to teach on this. I'm going to leave you hanging real good. But it is quite possible that battle, that war, leads up to and into the Battle of Armageddon, but that war could actually start before or after the rapture of the church. There are so many open ends in the prophetic word of God that we think we know. And so, we want to set our dates and make our times, but we're not as positive as we think we are.
Amen.
With that as a foundation, let's turn quickly to Hebrews 11:1. I don't want to hold you too long tonight. And I want to show you some ingredients to having faith for the last days. See, now to me, prophecy isn't boring and dead and dry. I don't know. I could share a lot of information with you. That we've been involved with some researchers from the Church of God out of Cleveland, Tennessee. And some staggering things that are happening. The NASA scientist the other day, I say the other day, months ago, several months ago, were looking through the Hubble telescope. Did you happen to hear this on God's News, Behind the News? They were looking through the Hubble telescope to the northern part of the universe. Now, where does the Bible say heaven is located? The sides of the north. They spotted what appeared to be, are you ready? A golden city. And they made some calculations. Now, the article was, did NASA find heaven? No, I don't believe they found heaven. I believe they found the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
They couldn't get with their, they could not get their probes within 100 yards of the gates.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
They did some calculations because this thing's heading towards Earth.
Amen.
How long is it going to take to get here, scientist? About 1,000 years. What does the Bible say at the end of the book of Revelation? I, John, saw the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven after the millennial reign. 1,000 years. Oh, we're closer than you realize.
Amen.
Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I cannot understand for the life of me how anybody can believe in evolution. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. The first ingredient to give us faith to survive the last days, faith to keep us strong and keep us where God wants us to be in the last days, faith is an offering. Faith is the offering of our lives. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Now, I want to briefly tell you two things about this. Cain and Abel both made an offering. One was accepted and one was not. Amen.
Amen.
One was accepted by God, the offering of Abel, and the offering of Cain was not accepted. But they both gave. They were both doing some giving, but Abel's was considered a more excellent sacrifice because he gave according to the prescribed way that God said to do it. Cain, I don't know what Cain did, but he could have just, you know, God said he wanted it done a certain way. I believe he showed Adam when he killed and he reclothed them. They had fig leaves on, and he said, here's some animal skins. God took Adam and showed Adam, this is what it's going to take to get you back into fellowship with me. This animal, this innocent, is going to have to die and shed his blood, and I'm going to clothe you with these skins, which is a type of his righteousness. But Cain comes along and says, oh God, I think I'll give you some cabbage. He knew better.
Amen.
He knew better, but his offering wasn't acceptable to God. We know that we ought to be living holy and pure lives.
Amen.
And we know that we ought to be bringing God our best. Anything else is not acceptable in these days. Some of the things that God let us get by with yesterday, he may not let us get by with today and tomorrow.
Amen.
So we want to keep that in mind. Abel was the good one. He was the righteous one. He was the holy one. And yet, he died. Cain was the bitter, jealous brother, and he lived. How often do we find ourselves facing those perplexities in life? But there's a little clue as to what happens. God testifying of his gifts, and by it, by the offering, even though he is dead, his faith yet speaketh. And this what you're looking at here in Gaylord, Michigan, Kalkaska, Michigan, wherever, in the stink you're from, what you're looking at is not built only on you.
Amen.
It is built on the prayers of every godly forefather that has gone before us with a dream and a vision from the Lord. Every tear that's ever stained an old rugged altar bench. In a little Pentecostal mission across the tracks that they were rotten, egged, and laughed at, and lampooned, and lambasted. That's what you see being built here today.
Amen.
That's the glory of God, because he's going to avenge his elect.
Hallelujah.
He's going to, with a fury and a vengeance on his adversaries. Who are those adversaries? Not people. Drugs is an adversary to God. Alcohol is an adversary to God. Mental oppression and bondage is an oppression or an adversary to God. Deafness is an adversary to God. Being broke, being financially irresponsible, and so you can't give into the kingdom, that's an adversary of God. It's caused by a seducing spirit, and God is going to take a vengeance and a fury on his adversaries. He's going to avenge his elect. In these last, yes, give Jesus a hand. Let's do it. I'm so sick and tired of dead, boring, dried up religion. I'm so tired of not enough shout to raise the dead. Stand up on your feet real quick. Now let's give him 30 seconds of praise for the awesome God that he is. Can we do that? Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! Shukarararabasa! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! We're going to send an anointing. There may be some of you in here right now tonight that the Spirit of the Lord's going to come on you and God's going to translate you. He's not maybe physically going to take you to heaven. He could do that if he wants to. But he's going to turn you into another man, another woman, another child of God. He's going to turn you into a new teenager. He's going to turn you into a powerhouse.
Amen.
I'm preaching better than you're shouting.
Amen.
You're not shouting.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Forgive me if on the last night I scold you just a little bit.
Come on.
Well, it's not the last night.
Hallelujah.
He had this translation that he. For before his translation, he had this testimony. He pleased God. I know that it's the desire of every person in this building. And I say this myself every day. Lord, the way I walk today, the way I treat my wife today, the way I treat my kids today, the way I treat my friends, I want it to please you.
Amen.
The atmosphere that I'm setting for my life. Now, I say me, it is the power of God, but listen, he can't work with you if you won't give him an opening.
That's right.
Amen.
So we have to make the choice and the decision.
Yes.
To let him work. So the atmosphere that I'm setting, I want to please you. Before this man was changed. He had to be changed because you can't go to heaven in your flesh. Before that change come, though, he had the testimony that he pleased God.
Amen.
Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. What does that mean? Well, do you need healing tonight? God is.
Amen.
Do you need finances tonight? God is.
Yes.
Do you need restoration in your life tonight? Maybe you've sinned and played the fool and you need restoration? God is.
Hallelujah.
Now you have to believe that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Or else there ain't even no sense in you being here.
Amen.
And that he is a rewarder of them. And this is where I like the King James, because they left this in there. That diligently seek him. Some of the newer translations, the word diligently is not there. But I like that word.
Amen.
They
Amen.
Diligently seek him. You remember the last time that I was here, I told you about the woman who was sweeping her house, looking for a coin, looking for what she had lost and misplaced. Oh, we've lost some things in the church, and we've certainly misplaced some priorities, but there's coming some sweeping changes. And the Holy Spirit's the one on the end of the broom. And he's raking the coals, and he's stirring us up and cleaning us up.
Amen.
To discover what we've lost, what we've misplaced, what happened to our heart for him. But I believe it's coming back.
Amen.
I love the word that came forth tonight. If you haven't had a song, God's going to give you a song.
Amen.
If you haven't had a word to say, God's going to give you a word to say. If you haven't loved him, God's going to put a love in your heart for him.
Amen.
If you're willing. If you're willing.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
You're not shouting.
Amen.
By faith, Noah. By the way, another little prophetical piece of information. Oh, this is touchy. Should I tell him? Sometimes you can translate. This is not numerology, so please don't think that. But I personally believe the Hebrew language is divinely inspired. The very language itself, I believe, is divine. I believe it was originated by God. And it can be taken into what they call an acrostic. And I don't understand all about that. But it's something to do with you put it into English. And it has a numerical value.
Amen.
Now, you know what 1998 is in Hebrew? Ha Tekufa Noach. And Ha Tekufa in Hebrew simply means the season of. Very interesting. We are in the seasons of Noah. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah,
yes.
So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Just another indication. Shh. Shh.
Yes.
Just another indication. Not that we can lay back on our couch. Come and get me, Lord. Been working pretty hard for you. We got to get busy.
Amen.
We got a lot of unsaved relatives to win.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to get to that prayer. You might have thought I forgot about that, but I didn't. We're going to pray tonight for our unsaved relatives. And we're going to believe God for them.
Amen.
But we're going to believe God for us, too.
Amen.
That when they look at us, they don't say,
Amen.
And that happens a lot.
Yes, yes.
Had a lady tell me this week, well, my husband just won't get saved. That dirty rascal, that dog, he just won't get saved. I said, ma'am, do you tell him that you are? Yeah, every day. And I said, well, that's probably why he's not.
Amen.
That's right.
I'm not saying don't witness. I believe in witnessing, but we've got to be lovely people also.
Amen.
We've got to learn something about graciousness again.
Amen.
We've got to learn how to consider people's feelings.
Amen.
Amen. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. I could really get off into some trouble there. There are some things that's going to take the body of Christ by surprise if we don't get some prophetical things stirring up within us.
That's right.
Amen.
Because we haven't seen them as yet, and a lot of people believe certain things are not going to happen, and they're not going to be too bad if they do.
Amen.
And that's all I'm going to say about that. But we have to, I don't ever believe that we should get into fear over anything.
Amen.
Fear is opposite of God.
Amen.
But I believe we should be prepared.
That's right.
To hear God and to move the way God would want us to move. I can prove that to you from the Bible. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Now that doesn't mean, that means reverence. God told me this. They're all laughing at me, but God told me this. They're all making fun of me, but God told me this. And he prepared an ark.
Amen.
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 To the saving of his house.
Yes.
Amen.
Maybe if you... Oh,
amen.
God, do I have to say that?
Amen.
Maybe if you'd quit whining about your unsaved loved ones.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
And prepare an ark.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Maybe if we'd obey God instead of being wimps.
Amen.
And start speaking. Get yourself into the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And read it and study it and begin to prophesy to the four winds of the earth. Say, come on, breath of God. Come in from the north. Come in from the south. Oh, that.
Amen.
What are you doing? I'm obeying the word of God.
Yes.
Come on, breath of God. Way over here. Come on, bones. Get up.
Hallelujah.
Get up and dance before the Lord. Get up and rejoice in him and be glad.
Amen.
Yes.
But it's so easy for us just, old, stupid old Uncle Fred, he'll never quit drinking. God, won't you save him?
Mm-hmm.
Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Why are you building that an ark, Noah? I want to save my house.
Amen.
There's a flood coming. I want to save my house. And by the which he condemned the world. He condemned this world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
Amen.
Amen.
By faith, Abraham. Let's go to Abraham. 90 years old. His wife's 100.
He's 100.
Is that right? Okay. Sorry about that. I stand corrected. What is that again?
He's 100.
He's 100.
She's 90.
And she's 90.
He's about to have a baby.
And she, right, I remember now. And she's about and she's about to have a baby. No. It's been dead here too long. This womb's been dead too long. In fact, they've never had children over there at that house. No, this womb's dead. It's too old. There's only 25 people there. But we need to rise up in the faith of Abraham.
Amen.
I have a promise of God.
Amen.
We're going to give birth.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to give birth.
Yes.
Yes.
You don't believe it? Huh?
You men don't. You don't get it. You should let a woman tell that story.
I'll let you.
Here.
That'd be good.
Come on.
You try to come into my house in the middle of the night and mess with one of my babies or that woman sitting right there, I'm going to kill you, friend.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Now, why can't we do the devil that way?
And
run him out of our churches, out of our pastors' homes, out of our relationships, out of our society altogether. Why can't we get on the move with this? What's it going to take? Praise God. Boy, I got me stirred. I just going to have to get a hold of some of that woman's tapes. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty! I'm going to endeavor to wrap this up real quick. Give me 15, 20 more minutes at the max. But let's look at verse 11. Abraham went out in obedience. Now, let's backtrack, I'm sorry, at what we've covered. Ingredients for faith in the last days. Number one, faith is an offering. Number two, faith is a walk.
Yes. Amen.
Enoch walked with God. Walking isn't too exciting. You never see it in the Olympics. They show the high-speed runners. And we've got a lot of sprint people in the church that they leave the starting blocks real fast. But when they get down to the finish line, they're nowhere to be seen because they quit. They don't persevere. Faith is a walk with God. Faith is walking when it's raining, walking when it's snowing, walking when the sun's out, walking when you're up, walking when you're down. You stay with it. You stick it out.
Amen.
Faith is preparation. Faith is obedience. Abraham obeyed. Look at verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed.
Amen.
And there's a lot of, you can just sit there and let godly imaginations flood you, praise God, and get a word from God on that. But let me say it this way as a point for this little message tonight. God wants to give you strength to conceive some seed.
Amen.
That you can sow that will produce a harvest in your life. Not limited to, but including finances.
Amen.
We need some other harvest too.
Amen.
Not just financial, but it includes financial. Well, I don't have no seed to sow. You better get some faith.
Amen.
Because the Bible says that faith produces strength to conceive seed.
Amen.
You're not shouting.
Amen.
I told somebody a few days ago, well, I don't have any seed. I said, go rake a yard.
Uh-huh. Amen.
And when you rake that yard, take it all and give it to the church.
Amen.
And believe God for 2 yards.
Uh-huh.
And when you rake those 2 yards, take it all.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about somebody who's desperate, right? They said, I don't have any seed.
Uh-huh.
Take it all and give it to the church.
Amen.
And believe God for 3 yards.
Yes.
And take it all.
Yes.
And sow it.
That's right.
And reap. And sow and reap. And we're entering into the days that the Bible says the sower will overtake the reaper. Or do I have that backwards too? The reaper will overtake the sower. I'm dyslexic. Stop that. But it's the truth. Before we can get it into the ground, God's going to be bringing us a harvest. Get it in, pull it out. Get it in, pull it out. Hallelujah. Throw it at the kingdom of God. Now listen, you need to start throwing some praise at God. Crazy praise.
Amen.
You want to go somewhere you've never been before? You got to do something you've never done before.
Amen.
You want to climb up higher than you've ever been before? You got to do something. You got to lay something out on the line that you've never laid out there before.
Right.
Put it in, bring it out.
Right.
Put it in, bring it out.
That's right.
Amen.
It's the law of God for these days. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
It really is. It works, folks.
Yes, it
is. This is not some fairy tale religion.
Amen.
This is not some fairy tale I'm reading you. Do you believe this book is true?
Yes.
If this Bible's true, then why don't we preach it?
Amen.
Let's put it another way. I'm gonna borrow something, and I know that there's some people in here that know I'm gonna borrow this, so I gotta tell it. See, otherwise you just keep your mouth shut and call it yours. But if this book is not true, then let's close it. And let's never come to church again.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
If this Bible is not true, let's shut it. Let's all go out and sell real estate.
Amen.
because I could make a whole lot more money doing that if this book isn't true. But if this Bible's true, then you ought to be in church every time the doors open.
Amen.
If this Bible's true, you ought to preach like you've never preached before.
Amen.
If this Bible's true, you ought to be laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover.
Amen.
If this Bible's true, what in the world are we doing?
Amen.
Why are we playing games with the dynamite of God?
Amen.
If this Bible's true.
Amen. Oh, it's true, Brother Pastor. I believe it all, cover to cover.
You look like it too.
Thank you, Lord.
She received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. And one thing that this sister said tonight struck me like a lightning bolt hit me back there. How many of us go whoring around? Like Sarah was upset with Abraham. She's the one that told him at the beginning to go sleep with Hagar. Then she got mad at the guy. But how many of us are going whoring around after other gods?
That's right.
How many of us would rather sit home on Sunday night and whore around after the Dallas Cowboys or the Philadelphia Eagles?
Amen. That's right. Amen.
How many of us would rather mess around with the stud called the world? As opposed to getting in there loving the one we are begotten of.
Amen.
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 But you know the good news? This is hard. This. But you know the good news of it all? There's a remnant. There's a holy seed of believers that God is about ready to pour the oil out and water that seed. And energize that seed, and that seed has the life within itself that will spring forth from the earth and produce a crop. Amen. Their spring, even of one, him as good as dead, so many as the stars of sky and multitude as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. As great as Abraham was, he died, no promise. Well, I mean, yeah, he had the promise, but he didn't see it with these eyes.
Amen.
As great as Moses was, he couldn't go into the promised land.
Amen.
As great as these men were, they died not having received the promise, but they saw them afar off. And we're living in the days where it's no longer afar off yonder.
That's right.
Amen.
Glory be to God, we're living in the days where we're going to see the promise up close and personal.
Amen.
Up close and personal, intimate with God.
Amen.
And those are the only ones that are going to see it too.
Amen.
Not these renegades that are out here doing their own thing. And they're close to themselves. And that's all they care about, too, is themselves.
Amen.
But an intimate relationship with God. But these did not see it. Only afar off. But they confessed. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They declare plainly. They declare plainly. They declare plainly. We seek a country. We serve a God.
Yes.
We serve a God.
Amen.
They declare plainly and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to return.
Sorry.
Amen.
No, you didn't catch that. You know, we could have laid it down and went home.
Amen.
Do you get that? Do you realize we could pray, God, take me?
Amen.
God, take me. I want to come home. And he might do it.
Amen.
Amen.
But these guys saw something else. And they were like Paul. I'll stay here, God, if it's better for them. I'll stay here if it's your will for me to stay there and see this, whatever it is that you're raising up for my life. Now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God.
Yes.
Now, wouldn't that be terrible And I don't know too many parents in the natural that be like this, but wouldn't it be terrible if a kid done you so bad? If a kid done you so wrong that you say, you know, I'm ashamed to be called your dad. Now, I'm not wanting to get over on dangerous ground, but it's in the Bible that there's an indication that quite possibly God might have that capacity with some. Because it says here, wherefore he is not ashamed to be called their God, would imply that he has the capacity to be very ashamed of us. And I wouldn't want that. If I knew my daddy was ashamed of me, I'll tell you, I'd go running home like a whipped puppy dog with my tail tucked between my legs and I'd be eating dirt. For he hath prepared for them a city. We're going to stop there. I'm not done. There's another great point here. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. Egypt is a type of the world. And if we're going to have faith in God, it's going to demand a separation. It's going to demand that we forsake the ways of the world and we don't see things the way they do. We look through the eyes of the Word of God. And the world might say, hey, you're doomed to die. You've got this sickness, you've got this cancer that's attached itself to you, and you're doomed to die. If I'm going to take that report, the report of the world, I'm going to die. But see, I don't look at things that way. I look at it through the Word of God. Yes. And of all the negative, of all the strong message that we've got to repent, and that's not really negative, but I say that to explain. Okay, it's really a very positive thing. Repentance is the most positive thing you can do because Amen. The goodness of God leads to repentance. Yes. But in all of that, the thing you need to know is no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're facing tonight, no matter what you're going to face tomorrow, God has given you the overcoming power Amen. To see to it that you are victorious, yes. to bring you through it victorious. And when you come back to Him, He comes back to you. Amen. Now here's one thing I want to do as we close tonight. I want us to have a prayer for the unsaved loved ones that are represented here tonight. And the Lord told me that if this little lady right here, hi, come back to us. If Marie, hi. In just a moment, I want to have a prayer for your ears. And if you'll believe it by faith, God's going to give you your hearing.
Amen. Glory to God.
Okay. One moment. One moment. Okay? One moment. And first we want to have a prayer for our unsaved loved ones.
Yes.
Okay?